Today on Straight Talk Africa, a look at the new political developments in South Sudan. Who is the legitimate leader of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition? Is it General Taban Dengai, the current first vice president appointed by President Salva Kiir after Dr. Riek Machar, the man he replaced, fled the country? Or is it Machar who signed the IGAD-sponsored agreement? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, October 5th. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
And today, it's about the latest political developments in South Sudan.
A lot to cover in this hour. Coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on what's happening in South Sudan. That's through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
The South Sudanese government has directed all its institutions to comply with the deployment of the UN Regional Protection Force. My colleague Paul Ndiho has more.
The security situation in Juba and other parts of South Sudan is tenuous after former Vice President Riek Machar and his allies ordered their forces to regroup for armed resistance in an apparent attempt to topple President Salva Kiir's government. The announcement follows the collapse of the transitional government of national unity once headed by President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar. Although the two men signed a shaky peace deal a year ago, fighting has continued since Machar fled the country in July. He's now living in Khartoum in neighboring Sudan. South Sudan is facing a mountain of challenges, including a deepening humanitarian crisis that has claimed hundreds of civilian lives and forced 2.5 million citizens from their homes. Appearing on VOA's Africa 54 news program, Stephen Pakol, a member of the Political Bureau, South Sudanese Liberation Movement in opposition, said that declaring war was a sentiment shared by many people in South Sudan.
It is not the SPLM-IO declaring war now. It is the people of South Sudan actually
declaring war.
No, no, no. Listen to me.
Yeah.
The leadership is just managing an anger of the people who have been brutalized by this dictatorial regime in Juba.
South Sudan's government has asked Sudan and other nations in the region not to let Machar launch a new rebellion after he threatened a return to the battlefield unless his demands to revive a peace deal were met. President Kiir fired Riek Machar in July from his post as first vice president in violation of the peace agreement that gave both men equal powers. He then named opposition negotiator Taban Dengai as first vice president. The United States is strongly condemning recent remarks by Machar for a return to conflict against the government of President Salva Kiir.
We find it inexcusable that he would continue to promote armed resistance. It indicates a lack of concern for the well-being of the South Sudanese people, millions of whom continue to struggle just to survive, and just as much want to see peace. So as we've always said, the United States expects that the transitional government and all parties, including all leaders of the opposition in South Sudan, will avoid violence at all costs and implement the peace agreement.
In September, the Sentry, an initiative of the Enough Project, a Not on Our Watch and other partners, released a report accusing both Mr. Kiir and Riek Machar of benefiting financially from the continuing war and effectively ensuring that there is no accountability for the human rights violations and financial crimes.
The simple fact is they're stealing the money to fund their militias to attack and kill one another. The evidence is thorough, it is detailed, and it is irrefutable. It involves arms dealers, international lawyers, international banks, international real estate, and it is because of these international actors that we are also able to provide solutions to help end this criminal behavior to protect innocent civilians.
The report says that the pair unlawfully acquired wealth as well as extensive commercial holdings in both public and oil services operating in South Sudan. Their immediate families lived luxuriously outside of South Sudan and hold significant stakes in companies that operate in South Sudan's most profitable commercial sectors. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. But first, for more on the latest developments in South Sudan, I'm joined by my colleague, John Tanza Mabusu, host and managing editor of VOA's South Sudan In Focus radio program. Hello, John.
Hello, Shaka Saleh.
How are you?
I am terrific.
Talk to us about the latest developments from the ground back in Juba.
The latest development from Juba is that there is a security dilemma. The government is facing a very, very serious security dilemma from all fronts. If you take the areas one by one, in what used to be called Central Equatoria, there's been reports of fighting in Yei, in Morobo, in Lanya. And this is a corridor of areas leading to the border with Uganda. And a lot of people have fled the area. They are now in Uganda, in northern Uganda, in a place called Arua. Some refugees in Arua, in Rhino Camp, have been telling our reporters that they have witnessed fighting between people armed and South Sudan Army. And then if you take the road leading to Uganda, that is the Juba-Nimule Road, there are reports of attacks on the road. In fact, 3 weeks ago, a fuel tanker was burned down by people whose identities are not known. Of course, the SPLM-IO loyal to Riek Machar have been riding on the back of these groups that have been attacking. And if you take the route to Western Equatoria, the route is also closed. I mean, Juba is literally, if you like, closed down.
But wait a minute. The first vice president, General Taban Dengai himself, was here. And if you heard him, if you listened to him, he told you that the man who symbolized violence and mayhem and what have you, Dr. Riek Machar, is out of the country and hence peace. How can you possibly talk like that?
I have spoken to a lot of South Sudanese in Juba because I cover South Sudan's story on a daily basis. And when we broadcast the speech of General Taban Dengai from the United Nations during the General Assembly, some people were posting questions on the social media saying, if Taban Dengai thinks the country is peaceful, he should dare to take a road trip to Yei. He should travel from Juba to Yei by road. Then he will have another story to tell the world about the security situation in the area. And even the road to Nimule, I mean, from Juba to Nimule, they are saying that Taban Dengai should dare travel by road without a military escort, and then he will tell the world what is happening there.
Talking about the appearance at the UN, of course, by the first vice president, what was the reception like, especially when he came to Washington?
There was a community meeting in Washington for the South Sudanese in diaspora. And one of our reporter from the South Sudan in Focus, that's Ayen Bior, attended it. And when she did a head count of the people there, there were around 80 people who turned up. But Shaka, the South Sudanese community in Washington, D.C., is more than 6,000 to 7,000 people here. So if from the 7,000 people, only 80 people showed up, that speaks volumes.
Any particular reason why, for example, he did not visit the opposition epicenter, which is based in Nebraska, or Minnesota for that matter? Because I know that any significant individual who is associated with the IO, that is the SPLM-IO, whenever they come to the United States, the place they go to is Nebraska and Minnesota.
In Nebraska, I was just chatting with one of the community members, because Nebraska is predominantly Nuer. And I was just chatting with one of the community members. I asked him, why didn't Taban Dengai and his delegation go to Nebraska? He told me that the community members in Nebraska say they are ready to go to prison. If Taban Dengai and Ezekiel Lol steps in Nebraska, they are ready to go in prison. In other words, they are saying they are ready to do anything to harm these two individuals if it means they will be locked in jail. So Nebraska was a no-go zone for them because most of the community leaders in Nebraska support former first vice president Riek Machar. So that's a reason why they did not go to Nebraska or Minnesota.
So given what you just said then, what does he in fact bring to the table when he cut a deal with President Salva Kiir? Because the last time I checked, he doesn't seem to have the backing of the armed wing of the IO.
It's a quite tricky question, but to answer that, what does he bring on the table? He brings nothing. He brings, if you like, self-pleasure. The SPLM camp led by President Salva Kiir are happy that Dr. Riek Machar is not in Juba. So that is all that Taban Dengai brings on the table. But the reality on the ground is different. Taban Dengai has no following within the SPLA-IA. That is the SPLA in opposition. SPLA in opposition. He doesn't have any followings there. And for you to really command respect in South Sudan, in South Sudanese politics, which is highly militarized, you have to have a backing of the military. So Taban Dengai, without any backing in the military, brings nothing on the table apart from making President Kiir and his supporters happy that Dr. Riek Machar is not in Juba.
Now, wait a minute, John. How did he become what he is today, especially given what occurred last July? He says, in fact, he was chosen by members of the SPLM-IO in Juba.
He was chosen by few individuals, not the majority of the SPLM-IO members of the political bureau. You're aware that last month, Dr. Riek Machar met with around 27 members of his political bureau and the National Liberation Council. That is the decision-making body of the SPLM-IO. Excuse me. Of the SPLM-IO. So any decision that is binding within the SPLM-IO should be a decision that is reached by the members of the political bureau and the Liberation Council, and it is based on majority, not 4-3 people meeting in a hotel in Juba and making a decision. Taban Dengai's nomination as the leader of the SPLM-IO is very contested and controversial within the SPLM-IO.
Are you suggesting that despite the fact that that group included, for example, the deputy chairman of the SPLM-IO and the secretary general did not really have sufficient numbers in order to make such a very important decision?
But the SPLM-IO deputy chairman, Ladu Gore, and the secretary general of the party, Do Diumatok, they actually bypassed their party rules and capitalized on some provisions in the peace agreement, which says in the absence of the leader of the two parties, the parties have to nominate a replacement. They bypassed their party rules and used the agreement as basis for their decisions to present Taban Dengai as their preferred candidate for the position of the first vice president.
What about the fact that the chairman of the SPLM-IO, Dr. Riek Machar, at that time was reportedly missing in action, and in fact, he spent 40 days without talking to anybody?
He, according to the reports that were coming from Juba, Dr. Riek had no choice but to leave Juba because he was attacked from the air and on the ground. And for him to have stayed in Juba, it would have even worsened the situation because in the event, God forbids, if Dr. Riek was killed in Juba, South Sudan would not be what it is today, because he has followers, he has a huge following in the country, and his supporters will not take it hands down.
Well, thank you so much, John, for your insight.
My pleasure, Shaka Sali.
You're most welcome. Now we'll pause for a short break, and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka, that's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA South Sudan. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you. So please, don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Ambassador Gordon Bwai, responsible for consular and diaspora affairs at the South Sudanese Embassy here in Washington, D.C. And Stephen Parkour, SPLM IO chairperson, National Committee for Education, member of the Political Bureau and head of the SPLM IO delegation to the United States. Gentlemen, I have to say frankly that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you very much, Chaka.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Gordon. What can you give us in terms of assessment for the trip of the first vice president in the last couple of weeks?
First of all, let me answer to some of the comments of John Tanza, because I cannot just leave them like that for your viewers, because John Tanza said that he questioned the legitimacy of the first vice president within the leadership of SPLM-IO. And this is a very serious accusation that has to be answered. First of all, if you know the leadership, the political leadership of SPLM-IO, the Secretary General, Dr. Dio Mathok, is in Juba. Mm-hmm. Lado Gore, who was the deputy of Riek Machar, is in Juba. Mm-hmm. Dr. Richard K. Muller is in Juba. Honorable Hussein Mar in Juba. Ambassador Ezekiel Lol in Juba. Sophia Palgaj in Juba. Honorable Gabriel Doblam in Juba. Michael Shanjeg in Juba. Gabriel Jokuideng in Juba, and et cetera, et cetera. There were 15,000 generals in Unity State, former Unity State, who joined Gerald Tabandenga, Gerald Makal Kwol, Dorminjur, Carlo Kwol, et cetera. Mm-hmm. In the central Nuer, the same. In the eastern Nuer and in low area. So now if you look at the areas of the eastern Nuer and the low area, there were very much the places of conflict in 2014. Mm. There is no fighting now. Is telling you that Gerald Tabandenga is in control, contrary to what people think.
I see.
And I want to tell you that, and also I want to correct what John Tanza said, because when the first vice president was addressing South Sudanese communities on Saturday, I was the master of ceremony, mm-hmm. and 210 people attended. 210 at the DoubleTree. I was the master of ceremony.
Our reporter, Ayen, has just told me a few minutes ago that she counted physically.
We have the video. We have the video. Very simple, because what we did is this. When I started the program, I made it live. 8,500 people all over the world were watching it live on Facebook. You cannot deny that. And we have the video. I can give you the clip of the video so that you go and do your counting.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So that one is not true. And on the issue of Nebraska,
an eyewitness report.
No, it's okay. Let's say your eyewitness is conflicting with me. That is okay. But we have the video. Mm-hmm. So the video will give you a chance to make your own conclusion.
We can talk about that later. But let's give Stephen a chance also to somehow respond to what you just said in terms of who, in
legitimacy,
fact,
the leadership of the SPLM-IO,
who composed the political bureau.
The political bureau.
At the Crown Hotel in Juba that day.
The yes, leadership is in Juba.
I think it is my turn to respond to this. Mm-hmm. Actually, what happened in Crown Hotel was totally illegal. It first violated the internal rules, the regulation, and the constitution of the SPLM-IO.
In what way?
The members present there were less than two-thirds. They could not even make a quorum. We had only five members of political bureau at that time there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, Dr. Richard Kaimula, was sick. So there were four.
Mm-hmm.
But the national security, with the help of Tabandengai, rounded up so many members of political of the SPLM-IO who are not members of political bureau. Even members of the SPLM and the government attended that meeting. So it is illegal.
How many people do you need for a quorum in order to arrive at such a very important decision?
230 of the 28 members of political bureau. So they were only five in Juba. And they were rounded up, they were brought to... by the way, you just go back to the background of the whole thing. When our chairman's resident was attacked in Jabal, and he survived assassination attempt on Friday, and the government attacked the residence of the first vice president by air, by infantry and heavy machineries,
mm-hmm.
our forces, along with our chairman, were dislodged. And within 24 hours, Salva Kiir came up with ultimatum, giving Dr. Riek Machar ultimatum to report back to the city or get replaced. The circumstances of replacing our chairman by itself tell you the mockery of the whole thing.
Let's go back a little bit to the Crown Hotel.
Yes.
Present at the Crown Hotel, my sources tell me, was a General Paul Malong Awan.
Yes.
Chief of the SPLA Army, correct?
Actually, he was the one who organized the whole thing.
Are you telling me that he's a member of
the He's not a member of our political. Actually, the purpose of having him there was actually to practically show the intimidations.
I see. Chaka. What about
and,
that?
And out of this Chaka, before he comes, our Secretary General, Dr. Diomatho, was mm-hmm. tortured that night by the national security. And the whole thing was done actually under intimidation.
He did not voluntarily or do it of his own volition?
People were in fear.
Chaka.
Our cadres were rounded up.
I see.
Chaka.
They were terrorized, and the Secretary General was tortured physically. His wounds were displayed all over the media.
Let's give
Shaka, you Gordon see,
some and that was why.
Yeah.
Shaka, there is a video of July 23rd meeting of the political organs of the SPLM-IO. In that video, you will not see Paul Malong Awan. Paul Malong Awan was not there.
Mm-hmm.
This is something concocted by those who are loyal to Mr. Riek Machar. On the issue of Dr. Diomatok went to Nairobi, went to Addis Ababa. If he was tortured, why he returned to Juba? This is the common sense.
What about that? Why did he return to Juba?
Yeah.
In fact, as we speak, the picture that has been painted by the regime was that Dr. Riek was killed. And most members of our movement have actually lost hope at that time.
Are you suggesting that...
They have gone back to Juba, and as we speak, they are actually under open arrest.
I have read somewhere that there were plans to assassinate Dr. Riek Machar. Is that what you are saying?
Yes.
Sure. Now,
by the way, it is not me saying this. The United Nations panel of experts has come up with this report detailing the evidence that the regime has been planning for this. And not only this, if you go back to the history of tensions between July 1st and July 9th, actually the regime erected roadblocks targeting our vehicles and lynching the members of the SPLM-IO. This has been reported all over. So the assassination attempt actually was preceded by tension actually targeting our cadres. And when it happened, it was actually a miracle.
But what
that
about
Dr. Riek Machar is alive
today? What about statements from President Salva Kiir Mayardit saying that in fact Riek Machar was behind a military coup?
This failed. By the way, this is not new. The background of this war was fabrication by Salva Kiir in 2013 that a coup was launched by Dr. Riek Machar and all his colleagues.
I remember that,
that
about
case
that
collapsed
one
in court.
Of December 15th. I remember that one.
Yeah, that case collapsed in court.
Yeah.
And the whole world has come to the conclusion that there was no coup. That coup was dismissed.
Let me ask Gordon a question here. Gordon, the first statements, for example, frankly, from President Salva Kiir, I remember at State House, he said, what happened there in terms of the violence that occurred? While in fact the three of them with second vice president
were in the meeting. Correct.
The first statement that came from a government spokesperson suggested that even Dr. Riek Machar, frankly, did not know what had been going on outside.
The committee
but
was
later,
the
somehow,
committee was formed.
Later the goals are shifted. And you are being told this is a man, in fact, who was leading a possible military coup
Dr.
to overthrow President
Salva Kiir. Dr. Riek Machar went to the meeting with a pistol. A committee was formed under who? Under Lado Gore, a member of SPLM-IO. Let me say what.
Was he entitled to have a pistol or not?
He was not entitled to have a pistol.
So why didn't they check him?
He was checked. The pistol was taken.
And then?
And then the meeting continued.
But if, in fact, he was trying to overthrow the government?
Yes.
Why wasn't he immediately arrested?
Listen, listen here. Even if Riek Machar was found with a pistol and it was taken from him after the fighting, how do you arrest Riek Machar? Because when you are a leader, you have to look at the bigger picture, right? This is what President Salva Kiir did. He looked at the bigger picture and then he protected Riek Machar, gave him his armored vehicle to take him to his residence. And Riek Machar even called thanking President Kiir. It's because when you are a leader, the aim of President Salva Kiir is to stabilize South Sudan to achieve peace. Whether Riek Machar has his intention, he has to prove to the whole world that it is not me, it is Riek Machar who is violent.
So
and this is what our president did. Riek Machar was escorted, he was given armored vehicle, and even thanked President Salva Kiir. And you can ask the American ambassador, they will even tell you. Because our president called American ambassador to come and take Riek Machar. They said, no, we have no car to take him. And then he asked the UN representative. And then when they declined, he gave him his armored vehicle.
His own escort.
So, yes, because even if you get...
And then Paul Malong unleashed helicopter
guns. Paul Malong, that is a different environment. It was that one on 11 when Riek Machar forces attacked the government forces and they were advancing to J1. And then the army had no choice but
J1 to defend. J1 meaning State House.
The army had no choice but to defend the city because Riek Machar was advancing. So that was on 11. I'm talking about on the 9. I mean on the 8th when the fighting happened. So Riek was protected. The committee was formed under Lado Gore. It was when the committee did the investigation, they discovered that Riek Machar had a plan. Because you know what happened on the 10th when President Salva Kiir called Riek Machar to have a meeting. Riek Machar told him, look, I will not come. And then when these forces attacked the forces of government at checkpoint on Sunday, and then President called him, Dr. Riek, what is happening? He said, you know, I cannot control my forces. And then President called Waniga to call Dr. Riek to listen to the same thing. And these things are recorded. Riek repeated to Waniga that, look, I cannot control my forces because their brothers were killed, so I cannot control them. If they want to fight, I cannot control them. How can you be a commander-in-chief not controlling your forces means that you sanction, you approve the attack. This is where the army had to defend the city.
Let's go to one of his generals. Let's go to one of his former generals. Wait a minute. Taban Deng Gai.
Okay.
Initially, when he took over, he actually said that when Dr. Riek Machar surfaces, I will step aside. Do you remember him saying that?
Then that is it. We said it within the IO meeting of political bureau on July 23rd, if Riek Machar surfaces now, as he is surfaces, the world is telling him that you have to denounce violence.
Yes.
Once you denounce violence, you go to Yuba, the normal citizen, and then you sit down as IO and discuss with Taban Deng Gai in Yuba, but not calling for war in Khartoum. You know the world condemned him for that.
We have to go for a break. When we come back, remind me, we continue on that angle. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, but first here is Mariama Diallo herself. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, if you are just joining the conversation, still to come, we'll reveal some of the touching feedback we've received from our audience through social media. Please stay with us.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The it does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct.
And adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at voanews.com/African Beat.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. As we've mentioned, 1 year after President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar signed a fragile peace deal, fighting has continued, displacing more than 2 million people and killing hundreds. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what will it take to prevent South Sudan from plunging into another full-fledged civil war? Well, we'll start this conversation with a viewer or listener from Tanzania with our letter of the week.
Leonard Kandabole from Tanzania writes, the problem with some African leaders is their reluctance to uphold the principles of their nation's political system, constitution, and the will of the people.
Well, that was Leonard Kandabole from Tanzania. And before we move on to more comments, I'd like to thank you all for using all the social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag VOA South Sudan. And if you haven't yet, do follow us on Twitter. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Otega, who says that we must understand the importance of a united front and not a divided front. Let's look at another tweet while we're still there, this time from Habat Nukula, who says that the two leaders, Dr. Machar and President Kiir, need to leave leadership for a new beginning. Moving on to Adrian Bamboo, who tweets that countries led by men and their ego greed more worried about their powers than the people. They should never have been leaders. Well, now to a comment from our Facebook followers, and we'll go to a fan, Bamwe Sigye Burgunda Dastan, I think I got all his name right. He writes that democracy and a productive political environment cannot be separated. This is the cornerstone of a peaceful coexistence, economic prosperity, and sustained development. African leaders should emulate other successful democracies in order to lead their citizens out of war and poverty. Well, lots of views reflected here in the comments. Your thoughts?
Stephen, your reaction.
Thank you. I completely... can I react to this?
This first.
Okay. Well, I think I completely agree with the commentator. The problem of Africa is squarely of leadership. And what is happening in South Sudan is a dictatorship instead of leadership.
Leadership deficit.
Leadership deficit. If you take the case of South Sudan, the reason why we are being at war with each other since 2013 is because we have a tyrant who does not want to give politically space for others to participate. Salva Kiir has been a record all along, even after we signed the agreement, that he cannot implement this agreement. It's a bad agreement. And simply because it is an agreement that gives others a chance to share power with him.
What about your boss, Riek Machar?
Well, you know, if you look at Dr. Riek Machar and make comparison between Salva Kiir and Riek Machar, you will see the fine line between dictatorship and leadership. Riek Machar has led South Sudan to independence. He has also led South Sudan to peace through this agreement that we signed in Addis Ababa.
They first became rebels about the same time. You know, Salva Kiir 1983, correct? Yes. And Riek Machar, 1984, correct?
Yeah, they were together in the SPLM, SPLA. They were commanders. And they were actually our heroes. What did not happen was Salva Kiir to provide leadership that will leave legacy of these liberations
we'll come
the history
to that.
Book of South
we'll
Sudan.
Come to that
that has
bit.
Not happened.
We'll come to that a little bit later, Stephen. Any more reaction from the audience, please?
Yes, we'll go to a comment from Facebook from Muzuhura Ambrose Buhinja from Rwanda, who writes that South Sudan should be classified as a failed state so another peacekeeping organization like the United Nations can take over the country until it's ready to govern its own affairs. And let's go to a post, this time from Martin Nyalusi from Tanzania, who writes that the African Union should be more effective and erase the puppets in South Sudan who are stealing its natural resources like oil. It seems some of the leaders have personal interests in having a civil war. Well, those are very strong arguments that are being made here. Once again, your thoughts.
Your reaction, Gordon.
Yeah, listen, these people who are commenting like that South Sudan should be taken over by the UN, under what circumstance? We have a government, functioning government, everything is going well, so I would consider them as people from another planet.
You know, since you have now accepted the deployment of another four Southern regional security forces,
yes,
plus the 12 Southern you have on the ground right now, we're talking about 16 Southern
yes.
international force. Why yes. are they there?
Why are they there?
If
they're
in
there
charge.
Because, well, we are in charge. They're not there to take over the government. We signed SOFA in 2011.
But now they have taken over the international airport?
No, that one is not there. No.
Yes.
That one is not there. No, I think.
Do you
know the details?
I saw the statement, my friend.
Not the statement. I have the detail. I'm a government representative.
I know you are.
There is nothing like that, taking over the airport, important installation. That one is not there. What they are there, they will be taken care of the NGOs and the relief corridor.
That's what they're protecting your own people.
No, it's okay.
On
no,
the
no,
ground.
No, they are not protecting. They are protecting us from who?
From their own government.
Not government. From bandits. Those who are killing people in Equatorial and they are terrorists.
After talking to them in Juba.
These people are from another planet. You know, somebody from New York, from another planet. Don't worry about. I'm giving you the.
I'm telling you the correct situation
on the ground. Bullet from who? From a terrorist. Even Americans are fighting ISIS. What is happening in Equatoria, what John Tanza was saying, is not a fight. These are criminal bandits, terrorists, attacking civilian cars. Even when you are a dinka, they will kill you.
Were you bandits when you are fighting for freedom against Khartoum?
Well, that is a different. The SPLM had a vision. SPLM had a vision. But these bandits in Equatoria, they don't have any vision except killing and looting and attacking cars. Like what John Tanza said, that there was a tanker that was attacked. Is tanker a SPLA tanker? No, it's a civilian tanker. So let us agree.
What about your soldiers reportedly who have been raping people?
American soldiers raped people in Iraq in 2006.
People?
American soldiers.
We're talking
American
about
soldiers.
South Sudan.
Yes, but there are rogue soldiers everywhere. This is what the point I want to make.
So you're
our soldiers, there are.
Forces.
Yes,
there
are individuals with PTSD, mental issues within the SPLA that committed crimes. But it is not the policy of the SPLA or the arm of the government. You remember in 2006 in Iraq, there were American soldiers who raped Iraqi girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know Abu Ghraib.
And they were
so
prosecuted.
If they were prosecuted, yes. But what I'm telling you, if a professional army like the United States would have elements that would do that.
But earlier
so
what about the SPLA?
What about the SPLA that emerged from the war, 21 years in the war?
Can I respond to
you? You have to accept this.
In any case, Mariama, thank you so much for bringing this week's audience reaction.
Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter @VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just don't forget to download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, political talks in the Democratic Republic of Congo have resumed after being suspended weeks ago following 2 days of deadly protests on the streets of Kinshasa. We'll discuss the latest developments in the DRC on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back, and we're talking about the latest political developments in South Sudan. Our distinguished guest, Ambassador Gordon Bwai, responsible for consular and diaspora affairs at the South Sudanese Embassy to the United States here in Washington, D.C., and Stephen Park Wall, SPRMIO chairperson, National Committee for Education, member of the Political Bureau, and head of SPRMIO delegation to the United States. Again, gentlemen, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you
for the first time,
on Straight Talk Africa.
Yes.
You're most welcome. Now, let me ask you a question, Stephen. You have a man, a hero, in fact, to most people, like Kerubino Kwanyen Bor, the man that fired the first shot, 1983, in Bor, Jonglei State. What do you think must be happening to him right now, wherever he is, really, when he looks at what has happened so far? What about a man called Dr. John Garang, arguably the founding father of the Republic of South Sudan? You have a huge country, I have said this many, many times, that is much larger than the East African community countries that you want to join. Your country is enormously wealthy and blessed with resources, really. You have a very fertile land, really. It could be the breadbasket of the region and the Middle East, if you will. What you do not have, in fact, are people. You have very few people, and yet you are preoccupied killing each other.
This is very true, Chaka. Thank you very much. And let me first tell you that our heroes, Dr. John Garang Mabior, Kerubino Kwanyen, William Nyuand, and all of them must be disturbed wherever they are now. And they must be turning in their graves to see what our country is going through. There is nothing wrong with the people of South Sudan, but there is something terribly wrong with the leadership in the person of Salva Kiir Mayardit. He turned the country into a killing field since 2013, only to protect his leadership. Yes, he cannot do this alone. We have given him the opportunity to actually implement this agreement that he signed with reservation, and that is the only chance we have with the people of South Sudan behind us. He told the whole world, and he's a record, saying that it is a difficult agreement to implement. It is difficult for him because actually the agreement gives the people of South Sudan another opportunity to elect their own leaders. He knows that he can survive peaceful and democratic transitions to democratic elections. He knows this very well. And the problem with Salva Kiir is that he wants to have it alone in that country. He does not want to share powers with anybody. He does not want to compromise anything when it comes to his leadership. He has established a kleptocracy supported only by a small coterie called Dinka Council of Elders, which is not also serving the Dinka community interest. It is a tragedy, and it is true that our heroes must be turning in their graves. But it is a tragedy. Salva Kiir will never bring peace to that country.
Okay, should I comment?
And he will never provide leadership. He just provides dictatorship.
Okay, you know, Shaka, I think even your viewers will agree with me that facts must speak for themselves. In 1991, I was in Nasser with Dr. Riek Machar at the Red Army. It was Dr. Riek Machar who staged the coup against Dr. John Garang And he was the first person who committed genocide against the Dinkabor. This is record.
That was in 1991.
This is record.
Even now your own people, I know you are in Nuer. You are in Nuer. He's in Nuer.
Yes.
You are accusing Salva Kiir for having committed genocide against your people in 2013.
He did not commit genocide. I will come to 2013. He did not commit genocide. Even African Union investigation confirmed that there was no genocide.
That report is damning.
Listen,
I have read the report,
which
was chaired by former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo.
Did African Union report?
It is damning.
No. But now you are admitting that I'm defeated.
In fact, they want to establish a high bleed court.
Shaka, there is nothing called genocide in African Union report. So don't talk about genocide. Riek Machar, is it true that Riek Machar killed Dinkabor in 1991?
I don't know whether it was genocide, but yes, okay, they were massacres.
Massacres. Very good. Very good.
The government of Salva Kiir massacred and its own people?
He staged a coup against John Garang. And I'm answering to him. He was saying, Dr. John Garang actually is back to life. Riek Machar is the one who introduced tribalism in South Sudan.
I don't know whether
there has
did,
never
but,
been any Dinkabor war except when Riek Machar introduced it in 1991.
I don't know whether South Sudan
is somebody who is like Jonas Savimbi.
Let me ask you a question.
Now that you talk like that. The country will be in peace.
Now that you talk like that, my brother Gordon, let me take you back to July 15, 2011.
Yes.
You are a young man. Mm-hmm. You are in Canada. Mm-hmm. And you are on YouTube addressing the world about replacing Salva Kiir as president.
Did I shoot
because anybody? Because he was a very bad one.
That is democratic.
He was impeached.
You are in America.
No. Didn't you say it?
You are interviewing somebody who is declaring war against our government.
Is it not illegal for you to interview somebody declaring violence against the government of South Sudan? Shaka. I am the interviewer.
Okay, well, of course, you have to be democratic. You have to be democratic.
Am I wrong in citing July 15th?
You played the video. I did not incite.
Am I wrong?
No.
Didn't you want to take over?
You are wrong.
You want to take over?
No, I said I was nominated by parliament.
How did you describe President Salva Kiir at the time? Almost in the same words.
Is it comparable to somebody killing people? He's staging a coup. Shaka, be logical.
You are so contemptuous.
Did the Canadian government arrest me because I did not kill anybody?
I'm simply talking about what you had for President Salva Kiir.
They staged a coup twice. These people, they are very violent. I hope you will inform FBI.
You know what? I have even seen some of your Facebook remarks.
Yes, because you have to deal with terrorists.
Which were criticizing a man called General Taban Deng Gai.
When he was a rebel. When he was a rebel, he should be with Riek Machar.
You have to be consistent as a member of the government.
But if we signed peace with the government last year, let's go to the lifeline of the show,
which are the telephone callers.
Okay.
Good evening, Samuel from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka. How are you?
Hugely terrific. How are you, Ndugu?
Very terrific. Let me cool the temple and talk to Ambassador Boy. Ambassador Boy, in order to cool everything down, why did the Southern Sudanese government bypass the peace agreement, terms and conditions, to appoint the Bandeng as a replacement of Dr. Riek Machar as the first vice president? Will the United Nations peacekeeping forces deploy in Juba unconditionally without what the diaspora may term, without strings attached? Thank you, Shaka, and thank you, Ambassador Boy. What's your take, Ambassador Boy?
Yes. Thank you very much. I'll give you an opportunity to answer. Okay. Let me first go to Tafa in Ghana.
Okay.
Good evening, Tafa from Ghana. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Hello? Hello?
Tafa, good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Tafa?
Well, I'm fine, Shaka. What about you?
I am terrific. Give us your question. You have 1 minute, please.
Thank you very much. Shaka, my question goes to the Ambassador. I've heard the President
general of South Sudan on Al Jazeera himself said that he did not believe in the agreement he himself sent his signature on. So the question is that those people are saying that President and the leadership are incompetent. Are they not indicated or are they not right to say that South Sudan has a leadership deficit? Because listen to also President Omar al-Bashir. He was saying that Africans are not ready to lead themselves. But he now is indicated that you are attitude towards your own people. You can not even show good leadership that you are ready to lead your people. Some people don't who are criticizing that how it's not right for you to lead your
thank
people.
You. Thank you very much. Let's go to Richard from Uganda. Good evening, Richard. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. You have 1 minute, please.
Okay, good evening, Ndugu Shaka. How are you, brother?
I'm hugely terrific, Ndugu. How are you today?
My greetings of the South Sudanese gentlemen in the studio. Actually, Africans have suffered, but South Sudanese have suffered more. Oh, God, help South Sudan. Now, Shaka, allow me to express my 3 points here. Before all what happened, a number of FPLM in opposition officials were killed prior to the escalation of the situation, in addition to the killing of civilians and raping of women by the Salva Kiir soldiers. Another point, anyone who deals with Museveni is nothing but a devil and a liar, and we didn't expect any positive outcome from the peace agreement. And remember how many times the Juba government tried to block Dr. Riek Machar from landing at the airport from Addis Ababa. Lastly, until Salva Kiir is deposed or killed, South Sudan will not have peace. He is the obstacle of his people. He is the problem of South Sudan. Thank you very much, Shaka.
Thank you very much, Richard. Of course, you are entitled to your opinion, but certainly not your different sets of facts.
To answer the question of the first viewer from Uganda, is that Jarula Tabandengai was democratically elected by the political organs of the SPLM-IO on July 23rd.
Really?
Now look at the leadership. Let's go with facts.
Let's
go with facts. No, Shaka, give me time. Let's go with facts. Ladogore, where is Ladogore? Is with Taban. Diomato with Taban. Richard Kemulo with Taban. Hussein Mar with Taban. Ambassador Zikelul with Taban. Sophia Palga with Taban. Sanzlag Diaping Taban. Gabriel Doblam Taban. Michael Chiadiek. Gabriel Jokuj. The real leadership of SPLM-IO are with Taban.
From what I know, all those have in fact been fired.
Fired by
from
who?
The IO.
Riek Machar is individual. Well, his wife died.
No, he's not alone.
Let me tell you.
By the way, this is the leader of their delegation.
What leader? What delegation? He's American
citizen.
He's here as an American citizen. He's not here representing Riek Machar. How come you? We have a bilateral relationship. Shaka, give me time. We have a bilateral relationship with the United States. How would you expect somebody coming to Voice of America declaring war against the government of South Sudan?
Give me an opportunity to react. You know about this declaration of war song that people are singing around here. The SPLM-IO has not declared war. I want you to read our documents.
What did you declare?
What we have said there is that the people of South Sudan and the SPLM-IO are left with nothing but resistance. Resistance in English language does not.
Like the National Resistance Movement of Uganda.
Yes. Resistance is always a response to a violent tyranny like you see in Juba. John Tanza was telling you what is happening in the countryside. Actually, our people are up in arms.
Why should we believe John Tanza and not Gordon?
Gordon cannot be trusted. Gordon. By the way, let me tell you, I did not want to attack his personality, but read his writing. He has just called me a citizen of the United States and just visiting. That is also
he's
a lie, right?
A citizen of Canada
and he's a citizen of Canada. Look at what he has just said on the media. He said I defected to them.
You met Taban on August 5th and on Sunday. Is it not true? Can I talk? You met Taban on August 5th and on Sunday. By the way, it is unseeable
to just shout.
No, it's not shouting. You are denying facts.
Actually,
facts.
Let me tell you this. It is unbelievable that I'm on this studio with with somebody that I cannot debate with.
You are brothers.
We are brothers, but boy is a very controversial liar, and he's known in our country like that. Whatever you get from him does not hold water.
But he's an ambassador, perhaps potentially extraordinary.
That is really very good. That he's an ambassador here. He was talking about bilateral relations between the United States and South Sudan, something they have not honored. They have been attacking American citizens. They have been attacking American diplomats. They have raped Americans. And their diplomats are safe here, but their diplomat, the diplomat of the United States, are not safe in Juba. That is the diplomatic relation he's talking about. But I don't think that is an experienced diplomat even to talk about
diplomacy. But going forward, really, time is not our best ally.
Okay.
Going forward, sincerely, you two guys, each of you a minute, what do you think needs to happen and must happen?
What must happen is what we have laid down in our document of the Political Bureau resolution. This peace agreement must be implemented by spirit and letter. And we have laid down what we need to see. The international community has not done its part. We were pushed to Juba to implement this agreement when the agreement was already being violated by Salva Kiir. And Salva Kiir has been telling JMAC, the international media, and everybody that he cannot implement this agreement.
What needs
to be done is to implement that agreement, because there is everything to reform the political system in the country.
Yes, the agreement is already being implemented.
How?
The JMAC did not report, because Taban Dengaj is recognized by regional leaders, UN, even the United States said, Donald Booth said that Riek Machar will not return to Juba.
There is probably
let me shine, Shankar. You are ambushing me.
No, you are ambushing me. No.
Because on September 28th, the U.S. denounced the Riek Machar call for violence. Now, JMAC did not report that the agreement is not being implemented. All the institution of JMAC, of the agreement, they are working properly. Taban is recognized internationally. And the peace is being implemented.
When Taban appeared in Addis Ababa, before IGAD, you remember?
Yes.
In fact, he said he was willing again to step aside if, for one reason or the other, Dr. Riek Machar surfaced, perhaps meaning that he may have been sure that the man had been
killed. I told you before, Riek Machar must denounce violence, and then he takes a plane to Juba, and then he will go and meet the leadership of IO.
Is it Riek Machar or his group, including Taban Dengaj?
No, Riek is individual.
Chaka, I have to respond
to
this.
He has no
group. Can I respond to this?
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
I will say that in 30 seconds. By the way, Taban Dengaj was dismissed even before he intimidated our people into electing him in that hotel of
Crown Hotel.
Taban Dengaj is not a member of the SPLM-IO. He crossed to the other side.
I saw the letter.
But he used the national security apparatus.
What about the fact that because he had not been appointed minister for petroleum? What about the fact that Ezekiel Gatku was told, a friend of mine at the United Nations, that as long as he was not made a minister, he was in trouble. Where is Diomato? Where is Hussein Mar? Where is Diabian Dobla? Unfortunately, time is not our best ally.
SPLMIO is with Taban. It's not with
Unfortunately, Riek, you don't have a last word on that because he is a member. On that note, thanks to our two distinguished guests, Ambassador Gordon Bwai, responsible for consular and diaspora affairs at the South Sudanese Embassy to the United States, Stephen Parokwaros, SPLM-IO Chairperson, National Committee for Education, and head of the SPLM-IO delegation to the United States. Thanks to our field stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning, Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, South Sudan. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.